Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Well, greetings, everyone, from Florida's Space Coast, home of the most skilled aerospace workforce in America. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the January 29th, 2011 edition of Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida, committed to expanding Florida's aerospace enterprise. Well, your questions and comments are welcome today, as always, 321-768-1240. Is the phone number from anywhere in the United States. Star 1240 is the number for AT&T wireless customers here along the space coast of Florida. And if you're more comfortable using email, our address is spacetalking@aol.com. Well, I'm pleased to tell you that our special guest today during the second and third segments of the program will be none other than Dr. June Scobie Rogers, whom I hopefully don't need to introduce any further other than to remind you, of course, that she was the wife of Challenger Commander Dick Scobie. Dick Scobie and six others that we lost in 1986, 25 years ago. We're talking about that today and through the weekend. We did have to pre-record her interview, just want to let you know, because of her very demanding schedule this weekend, as you might imagine. So I guess I can tell you that I already know what's coming up and guarantee that you listen in on this, you're going to be uplifted by her words and reports of how well she and the families are doing, and also a lot of neat conversation about the success of the Challenger Learning Center. So a really positive interview coming up here on Space Talk in just a few minutes. Later on in the program, we'll also hear from Pat McCarthy of Space Florida and bring you our weekly launch forecast. So, of course, it's been on the minds all this week here, especially the last couple of days. Where were you when you first heard about Challenger? If you were alive and old enough, I guess that is, after 25 years. A lot of people weren't alive back then, and it's hard to believe that, my kids included. But it was 25 years ago. Most of the nation experienced Challenger, of course, by watching it on television. The scene reinforced in your memories by replay after replay. My story, I was at the Kennedy Space Center press site that day covering the launch for my school newspaper, The Avion, at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona. And like me, if you were here on the Space Coast, of course, you saw the accident, the disaster happen with your own eyes. And I would suspect, like me, it's a sight you will never forget. How could you? Well, I remember a few of the details. I won't go into all of them, but I do remember, of course, you know, just the cold, how cold it was, the clear blue sky. You know, it was so cold that, you know, I had moved down from Minnesota just a couple years before. My Florida blood hadn't thinned out yet, and it was the first and only day I ever wore long underwear to work in Florida because we were going to be outside all that day, and it was so cold. So I remember that. I remember the clear blue sky. I remember the contrails, of course, from the booster rockets, the falling debris, and then how that the cloud just sort of hung in that sky. It seemed like forever before it broke up. I remember kind of a numbness in my mind that right after it happened, I didn't know what to do. My mind kind of went blank. I wasn't sure where to go, what to say, what to do. And certainly the emptiness that we all felt out there as the enormity of what we had just witnessed began to set in. You know, you think about that loss, and of course, I was really nothing more than a kid then, I mean, half my life ago. During the years since, I've raised, you know, my own three children with my wife. We've known all the best and worst moments that a parent can know. You know, I've faced my share of disasters and loss. Together as a nation, we've lived through terrorist attacks. You know, certainly here in Florida, we've lived through hurricanes and other calamity of various natures. And you know, because of those things and because life goes on, the way I remember Challenger, the sting, the emptiness, you know, isn't the same as the years go by. It does begin to fade, you know, but it is, of course, important never to forget days like that. You know, never give up on working to make sure that our nation never turns its back on spaceflight. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know how you want to look at it, that brings me to President Obama and his State of the Union address last Tuesday. You know, here's a guy who clearly has space on the brain. You know, perhaps not quite as a steely-eyed missile man, not as a space cadet necessarily, but certainly someone, you know, who's reflective of the era that he grew up in, which, much to my surprise, is my generation as well. Our president and I were both born in 1961, just a couple of months apart. And of course, although we've had very different backgrounds growing up, you know, many of our memories from the space program, you know, and of Project Apollo, you know, some of his memories echo some of my own. You know, it is clear that he believes what our nation did during Apollo is a testament to our ability to accomplish anything we put our minds and our money toward doing. You know, Gene Cernan, so famous for saying, take the word impossible out of your vocabulary. And certainly that's what Apollo did for our nation. And the president, again, somewhat echoed those thoughts last Tuesday when he claimed that this nation was experiencing, you know, its modern-day Sputnik moment, and reminded us that when he took office, he said that we needed to reach a level of research and development, of spending on research and development, that we haven't seen since the height of the space race. And yet, space is still not on that agenda. You know, his budget announcement last week, or last year, which canceled, you know, our Back to the Moon program, the subsequent retinkering of those plans announced during his visit to Florida last April, it still doesn't all add up to the same kind of support that he kept talking about, and again talked about in the State of the Union. In the State of the Union this week, he said, quote, "We'll invest in biomedical research, information technology, and especially clean energy technology, an investment that will strengthen our security, protect our planet, and create countless new jobs for our people." Close quote. You know, those are the same arguments that we use for justifying our space program. It truly is. Strengthen our security, protect our planet, create jobs. And those are good reasons and valid reasons. But notice he didn't say we're going to invest in the space program. We're going to invest in biomedical research, information technology, and especially clean engineering, clean energy technology. The president said, quote, we're not just handing out money, we're issuing a challenge. He said, we're telling America's scientists and engineers that if they assemble teams of the best minds in their fields and focus on the hardest problems in clean energy, we'll fund the Apollo projects of our time. You know, well, okay, my problem with all of this is that for a president who quotes from NASA and Apollo so often, you know, why isn't he making the connection that our space program, if given the kind of Apollo 11 funding it enjoyed in the mid-1960s, can help find the solutions for new and clean energy? The space can be a part of this other thing. You know, space program, you can. There's two things that are out there right away, fusion and solar power satellites. Now, to go figure out fusion, to go figure out solar power satellites is going to require a robust space program. And it makes me begin to think that instead of space exploration, you know, we should be more all about space utilization. Now, it doesn't take exploration out of the mix, and it's just a matter of semantics. But we can have a robust space program that gets people up in there. We need labs on the moon to do fusion. We need to go to asteroids to go mine them and figure out the facilities we need to do solar power satellites. It's something we should think about. And I think we can realize those dreams and realize that spending if we just look at it differently and maybe retool our space program to meet some of those more practical needs that have been talked about. Well, I don't know. What do you think? It's something we can talk about in the weeks ahead, that's for sure. In the meantime, when we return, our pre-recorded interview with Dr. June Scobie Rogers. And in the meantime, this is Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida. I'm Jim Banky, and you're listening to WMMB.
With everything you need to know about America's space program, here is Jim Banky.
Well, and welcome back to Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida. And as we continue to talk about the Challenger disaster and its legacy after 25 years, well, I'm reminded that my personal faith tells me that sometimes we just aren't meant necessarily to understand God's plan for us, and we should be confident there is a plan, of course, and that belief has certainly helped me deal with Challenger in my own personal way through these years, and certainly have come to see that more often than not, certainly good things can come from bad. So when you do consider what good came from that disaster all those years ago, at the top of the list has to be that today, across the nation, there are 48 Challenger Learning Centers working to inspire and educate kids about space exploration and a whole lot more. And, of course, who better to chat with on this subject than Dr. June Scobie Rogers, who, of course, was married to Challenger Commander Dick Scobie and who now joins us on the phone from her home in Tennessee. And we're very honored to have you. June, welcome to Space Talk.
Hello, Jim. It's great to be here.
Good. Well, it's a pleasure and honor to talk with you. And, you know, this is kind of maybe a stupid way to begin with, but, you know, I don't know what to say to you. You don't say happy anniversary. You don't. There's no Hallmark card, is there, for this? You know, as you approach the anniversary every year, is it still a real somber occasion? Is it you celebrate the positive that came out of it? How do you approach the anniversary every year?
Oh, Jim, honestly, what I do every year is to visit a Challenger Center. And watch the students with their own space mission doing something that our loved ones enjoyed so much.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, after 25 years, the anniversary date, that loss of the beloved crew on Challenger, is somewhat of history to me, like it is a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about my husband, the father of our children, we sit around, the children and I sit around the table talking about great memories of their dad.
That
yeah. We don't just focus on the accident and that it's been another year. It's looking back to how he lived and the fun that we had. He was a great dad. He was always involved with the kids, teaching them how to throw a baseball or even play with the Barbie dolls
yeah.
time or two. But those are the fond memories that we share, and the anniversaries come and go, and we do honor them with a celebration of their memory, and say their names along with those of Columbia and Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
As Americans, we honor those who have given their lives in the service of their country, and people who honor themselves
yeah.
by paying tribute to any of those who have lost their lives.
You know, you're right about it becoming more a part of history. I start trying to remember that day myself, and I talked a little bit about it in the first segment, but the memories are, sometimes they're harder, and you just kind of remember by where we've come, where we're at today, you know, and celebrate, you know, again, the good that came out of it. And I'm curious, too, a lot of people will ask, you know, well, do you expect that the Challenger families, you know, do you all still get together? Do you stay in touch, you know, beyond, let's say, just working through the day-to-day life of the Challenger centers? You know, did you remain a close group, or do you still stay in touch?
Just as Dick Scobie embraced his crew and a beloved school teacher so much that they call themselves the Teacher in Space Mission.
Yeah.
So have the families, the spouses in particular, bonded. We, of course, we show up at board meetings, but we are each other's best friend. We have attended our kids' graduations from high school and college. We've seen them married. We're all grandparents now.
Yeah.
And we share in that joy. We talk to each other on the phone regularly, some of us weekly. We congratulate each other, and we're sad and in sorrowful moments for
sure.
each other. But we are truly bonded.
Have you grandparents embraced the social media? Are you all Twittering to each other and Facebooking to each other?
Well, kind of. We know how the grandkids are. Every now
right.
and then I ask them, will you just send me a simple little email or call me? I want to hear your voice.
Yeah, that's the same story with my parents. You know, they can handle the email, but don't start talking to them about Facebook. You know.
Don't twit me. I'm
that's right. I've been twitted enough through the years. Well, and you know, we talk about, you know, that day and the historical part of it all. You know, have all the stories been told? I mean, and I'm not digging for secrets or anything, but I'm just wondering, you know, is there anything new to tell about what happened back then and in the aftermath and all that? Or has it kind of all been told and we've moved on?
I believe that we've moved on. When the families came together to think about how we wanted to pay tribute to our loved ones, you know, not to build statues, but to remember how they lived with these Challenger Centers, we didn't want Challenger, the space shuttle, to be the last chapter in space exploration.
Yeah.
We saw it as a transition chapter, and it began the day at the day of the accident. Vice President Bush and two senators, John Glenn and Jake Garn, joined us and spoke to us, grieving for the crew. And to a person, as I looked around the room, waiting for someone to respond, thinking, you know, where is that commander? He would have responded. And with all the eyes looking to me, I then said to the vice president, they believed so much in their mission. This Challenger crew would have died in vain if space exploration ends today.
Right.
So it was my plea to them to continue the space program and make it just a transition into a whole new look at space exploration.
And then that begat then the Challenger Centers. And tell us about them. For those that are new to space or new to the concept of a Challenger Learning Center, because we don't have one locally, what are they all about and what do they do? What's a typical one like, if there is a typical one?
Well, our vision became a reality when we thought about what our loved ones did and how could we express that with activities for students. So let's then create a child-sized space station in which a teacher flies a simulated space mission into the future and challenge the youngsters to apply skills in math and science and work together as a team to complete a successful mission. Learn critical skills learn these critical skills that are needed for the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
Teamwork, dealing with adversity, solving problems, you know, the fundamentals of what human interaction is all about, and to have fun on their own space mission, whether it's to the moon or Mars or somewhere beyond. And we were excited to create these now 48 Challenger Centers. And you're right, there's not one in your neighborhood, and we would love to have one. There are three in Florida,
right,
in Tampa and Jacksonville, and in Tallahassee.
And they all seem to be a little different. I mean, I know Tallahassee is almost like a standalone science thing. I believe the one in Jacksonville is embedded into a school.
Yes, thank you. The simulation, the space station simulation, mm-hmm. and mock-up of mission control, they are all the same, whether they're located in an inner city or out in the countryside. That part is the same, with the same kinds of missions. But where they're located, on a university campus, in a school, standalone, in a museum or science center,
mm-hmm.
those are unique to the community and what that community wants. Some are adjacent to a planetarium, some adjacent to an IMAX movie theater.
Sure, yeah.
But they are unique to what that community wants.
And the participants, real quick, geared to a specific age, all ages. What's kind of the goal there?
We initiated the idea with responding to the middle school years. Youngsters who are transitioning from the joy and excitement of science, you know, being curious. They were naturally curious.
Yeah.
And then they traversed into high school where it was just learning, memorizing textbooks of science.
June, hang on. Just hang on for that. We're going to stand by and pause. Believe it or not, we're coming up to our five-minute built-in hold.
Mm.
So we're going to stand by for a minute to everyone take a break, get caught up on the latest news, weather, and sports. We'll have more about the Challenger anniversary and the legacy from Dr. June Scobie-Rogers and the Challenger and Learning Centers. When we return, Space Talk is brought to you by Space Florida. I'm Jim Behnke, and you're listening to WMMB.
To our own mission specialist, Jim Behnke.
And welcome back to our second half of Space Talk on WMMB, brought to you by Space Florida, committed to expanding Florida's aerospace enterprise. Space Talk also brought to you today by the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, the only place in Brevard County where you can watch the movie Tron Legacy in 3D at an IMAX theater. All the other great attractions await you as well, including the shuttle launch experience and the Apollo Saturn V Center. It all adds up to a day of fun and a lifetime of inspiration. Get all the details online at kennedyspacecenter.com. Well, still with us on the program today as we continue talking about the 25th anniversary of the Challenger disaster and some of the positive things that came out of it is our good friend Dr. June Scobie-Rogers. She certainly needs no further introduction to this audience. June, again, thanks for sticking with us through the break, and let's continue talking about the Challenger Learning Center. As you mentioned, kind of the program and some of the kids in their various ages is geared toward. I'm curious if the program and the mission is sort of has it evolved through the years? You know, I know that in the last couple of years, the education community has gone way out of their way to get the word STEM stuck in our brains, space, technology, science, technology, engineering, and math. By the way, STEM is the result of a person from Minnesota, a teacher. Yeah, I learned that not too long ago. Proud of my state. But anyway, June, so is STEM a big part of it now, or is that part of the flavor of what you're doing? It's more than just space. It's also science and technology and all of that.
This is interesting. 25 years ago, we called it SMET.
Yeah.
It was Science, Math, Engineering, and Technology.
And someone in Minnesota didn't like that, and she changed it.
No, they changed it from SMET. But yes. We were working with the middle school age children to interest them in the sciences, and we've now grown to reach down to preschool all the way up through middle school and into high school. So we reach all these grade levels, and in 48 cities today, these school children fly their space simulation mission,
mm-hmm.
and that mission inspires and motivates them in science, technology, engineering, and math subjects, and we hope encourages them to look at engineering and technology fields of study. In fact, I have 9 grandchildren. 4 of them in college right now are all majoring in those areas.
Wow.
I have an aerospace engineering grandson, a math teacher granddaughter, and I encourage them and compliment them, and they all tell me they've listened to my speeches enough that they were inspired.
Well, there's hope for my grandchildren then whenever I do wind up having them, because I can't get any of the other 3 boys to be interested in space, but that's okay. I wanted to spend a moment, too, asking about sort of the local situation. You touched on it a little bit ago. We talk about that there's Challenger centers, Jacksonville, Tallahassee, Tampa. I have to admit I'm not familiar with the one in Tampa. I've heard about the Jacksonville one, and of course with our friend Norm Thagard up in Tallahassee, where my parents are living now, we're very familiar with that particular Challenger Center. But there isn't one locally. And, of course, but locally we do have the Astronauts Memorial Foundation. We've got the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. We've got these other kind of facilities in place. And really a couple of questions. One, do you think we could fit a Challenger Center in the Brevard County Space Coast area into the mix? And secondly, talk a little bit about your relationship with the Astronauts Memorial Foundation, which a lot of our local attention is geared toward when we remember Challenger and Columbia and Apollo and the others.
By all means, I bet you could be the champion to bring a Challenger Learning Center to your part of Florida. I grew up in that part of Florida. I grew up, well, for a few years. We traveled a great deal. But I love and recall my childhood there. Elementary school and then my junior year in high school in West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good Sputnik-type curriculum, inspired curriculum going on at that time.
Yeah.
Yes, I would love to see a Challenger Center there, and I would come join you in helping you to build it. And Norm Thagard has just helped us recently open the Challenger Learning Center in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, really?
So, great astronaut friend. In fact, many astronauts have opened Challenger Centers in their hometowns or in their colleges, and even the University of Leicester in England, an astronaut graduated from that school, helped us build that one. We have three astronauts serving on our board of directors right now. They keep us honest, keep us smart with advancing the curriculum and evaluating our programs and growing, growing the programs, getting smarter. Every time we build a new learning center, we get smarter with the community that joins in our efforts. So we just think we could grow at leaps and bounds to have that smart community right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just want to poke you a little bit to talk about the Astronauts Memorial Foundation.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Dr. Stephen Fellman doing a great job there. Mike McCulley, the current board of directors chair. That certainly, you know, how do you address them? What can you say about them, and how do they mix and match with what you're doing with Challengers Learning Centers?
Well, they invited me to be the keynote speaker at the Day of Remembrance at Kennedy Space Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the first time. I think it's the third time I've been invited back.
Yeah.
So I didn't embarrass my friends there so much so that they wouldn't invite me back.
That's right.
They're creating a terrific service of remembrance of the crews, and I wish they would join us in an effort to grow beyond the sad memories into the memories of how they lived and
right.
for what they were willing to fly in space.
Well, and we're going to talk, just so you know, June, we're going to talk to Mike McCulley next week about more about AMF and what they're doing. And their Center for Space Education, of course, is their living legacy, part of their program. And when I was a reporter at Florida Today, I know we did a lot of stories battling for that with trying to get money from Tallahassee. And it's always been one of the parts of my career to have been a part of that. But
right.
but I did want to make sure that to identify and to talk about that, because I think there are people in locally who don't understand there's either a difference or that there's two organizations or why the one and two aren't mixed up, and I think you're right, we should probably try to get a Challenger Center here, you know, somewhere. Now, you talk about the 48 centers around the country. Have they been growing two or three a year since 86 or 87 when the first ones were put out, or has it been a recent growth? You know, what's the trends these days?
The families would have been delighted to have built one Challenger Center. We worked hard for the first year organizing our ideas, bringing together a great team of astronauts, mission specialists, artists to help us design the first one, and had a competition of museums and science centers to learn where the first home would be for mm-hmm. the center. And, of course, the first home was Houston.
Right.
Then it grew slowly. One the next year in Maryland and another in Tampa. And it was like exponential growth after that. They from Florida up to Washington State, all the way to Hawaii and Alaska, across to the England, and now around the world to South Korea. So they are growing at leaps and bounds.
Really, South Korea? So 48 in the United States and more already beyond?
The 48 includes those
really?
In Canada and South Korea.
Wow. What are your projections for the next couple of years? Do you have a goal or a number, or do you just take what you can get?
Well, certainly we want to quadruple that number. But our growth should also be outwards through the technology of the Internet, with reaching even more youngsters through experiences that we can generate. And perhaps even portable kinds of learning centers.
Okay.
Recently, I wrote with famous authors Kevin Anderson and Rebecca Must a series of young adult science fiction books about the kids that we call Star Challengers, and who discover just how important it is to learn skills of science and math and advance space exploration and keep our planet safe. But they are led by the mysterious Commander Zota into the future. These kids, they're great. They're great books.
Heading to Amazon tonight.
You'll want to see them.
That is great. Well, now, you know... You made me think of something. The Challenger, you've been around for, the centers have been around for, more or less 25 years. You've got kids that have grown up now, become adults. I keep waiting for all of the folks that went to space camp when they were little to grow up and become part of Congress. We'd finally get our budget that we need. the Challenger Center graduates, have you seen kids go into the space program yet? Do you have instances of that? I don't imagine we have an astronaut yet that was inspired by a Challenger Learning Center.
Jim, in my brand new book, Silver Linings book,
mm-hmm.
I wrote about students who have grown up to lead in the space program divisions. They are, for example, Meg Meehan, who is a mission specialist, who just worked with a recent flight into space. We have physicians. My own, I went to a doctor recently, and this woman said, "Well, I was inspired. Nice to meet you. I was inspired to go into the medical field at your Challenger Center."
June, hang on. We're starting to wrap up our time, and so I don't mean to cut you off. Silver Linings and all the books, we're going to put those up on our website, make sure folks are aware of them. And I want to thank you so much. Wish you the best prayers and best wishes for continued success. And when we'll try to run into each other at the Cape and talk some more real soon, okay?
Okay, I'd love. I mean, you're talking about the subject I love.
Well, let's do it again very soon, okay?
Okay,
great.
Take care.
There goes
Thanks.
Dr. June Scobie Rogers. More with Space Talk in a moment. Brought to you by Space Florida. I'm Jim Banky. You're listening to WMMB.
And now back to Space Talk on WMMB.
And welcome back as we begin our final segment of today's edition of Space Talk, brought to you by Space Florida. On the phone with us, our good friend, the Director of Spaceport Operations for Space Florida, Patrick McCarthy, joins us to talk a little bit about what is going on at Space Florida this week. Pat, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Jim. How about you?
Good. What's the news?
Well, this week we're looking forward to a big commercial space community roundtable, because Robert Bigelow, who's the founder and president of Bigelow Aerospace, is coming to the Space Coast, and he's going to be meeting with community and industry leaders, and he's going to be talking about his plans for the company and the potential for a lot of growth here in Florida.
And he, Bigelow, of the inflatable structures, already done some work in space with proving his concept will work. I guess he was in the space news this past week talking about the possibility of an inflatable Bigelow module being added to this International Space Station sometime soon. Is that anything that you guys would be involved with or facilitate?
Well, yes, we certainly hope to be a part of that. And I think the majority of what we're going to be talking with Mr. Bigelow is getting him launch opportunities to send not just his expandable modules up, but also to launch his crews to space stations that he plans to put together, because we're thinking that with his business model, there's going to be quite a bit of growth and a lot of opportunities for launches from the Cape.
What more can you tell us about this event in particular? Where, when? Is it invited only kind of a thing, or what's it like?
It's pretty much by invitation only because of the nature of the discussions that are going to take place, but it is going to involve a lot of the community, government, and industry leaders from the area. For example, of course, Frank DiBello, the Space Florida president, is going to be there, and Dr. George Sowers from United Launch Alliance, the vice president here locally, is going to be talking about commercial space opportunities and the impact here on the Space Coast. And it's going to be Wednesday, and you'll hear an awful lot more about it, I'm sure, in the papers and on the media, because this is going to be an opportunity for us to also announce the details of a memorandum of understanding between Space Florida and Bigelow Aerospace.
Great, great. So it'll give us a chance to talk about something next week as well as we move forward.
Absolutely.
Good, good. All right, Pat, well, we'll take that for now and say best wishes. Good luck with that meeting, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay, there goes Pat McCarthy from Space Florida. Bigelow is a big deal, I don't even know what the rest of the phrase is, but you want to pay attention to this guy. He's got something going, and I think he's got something going that's going to work, and it's going to mean something new for our nation and in a direction that we can go with our space program. Real quick, Bill from Melbourne's got a question. Bill, welcome to Space Talk.
I'm amazed at your knowledge and disseminating. I hope you will get this one way or another to all of our new representatives who are very enthused, Webster and Adams and Alan West, all Space Coast-oriented people.
Yeah, we need to talk to all of them.
Number two, with the education level, as far particularly math, you see where math and Asian, that says we're 15, bottom 15%, 17 behind Finland, which is number one.
Yeah.
That's a big drag that we have on getting people into it. And as far as these visitor centers are concerned, if the visitor center emphasized specifically far more than I've seen at Canaveral about the number of jobs and new technologies, new inventions, and therefore new jobs centered, and we could get this spread around, including those 48 Challenger centers, and put this on a highlight, maybe we'd get a whole bunch of members of Congress starting to come over to do what Obama has not said, like going around telling the Muslims how great they contributed, but actually getting things launched into space. So I think that if we're going to build any new centers or use the centers we have, we should be emphasizing how that $1 created $3 worth of technologies, inventions, and new jobs, and the high-power jobs. And I'd also like to see DARPA involved, or where they can, in where some of their contributions, even if they're highly classified, if the unclassified parts could help our space program, I'd like to see that. And lastly, I'd like to see some competition involving Challenger things, involving people like Burt Rutan or Virgin Airlines in that, which I guess you're going to discuss Wednesday, because I think all of that, some mix of that, something might help to get some jobs flowing into this area.
Bill, you got great comments. Thank you very much for calling. You're absolutely right about things like the visitor complex. They're great at telling the story of what we've done and what we're doing. The whys get a little bit harder because you start dancing around the idea that, well, you can only advertise so much, you can only sell so much before you cross some magic line, and we've got to figure out what that line is and do a better part of that. And again, the future, some of these ideas of these contests is exactly what we need to do more of. I think they generate an interest in a way that we just don't see normally. And that's all real good stuff. So again, thanks for that phone call. Look, let's take some time now for our space talk launch forecast, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. Well, the dates haven't changed that much, although we did look up some stuff that makes it interesting to talk about. The next launch from the Cape does still remain scheduled as Shuttle Discovery on February 24th. They're looking like they're going to try to roll a Discovery back out to the launch pad here in the next week, and that'll start the month-long countdown clock to a normal liftoff here. 4:50 p.m. in the afternoon, February 24th, the sunset that day is 6:22. So about an hour and a half out, and the sun will be low, which means it's going to be neat. But the reason I looked up that number was for the next launch, Endeavour, targeted for launch on April 19th now at 7:48 in the evening. And believe it or not, sunset is 7:53. So you're going to have a sun probably halfway down on the horizon, half a sun on the horizon, something like that, if not just above it. And a launch. And if it's clear skies and everything lines up, that could be some of the most spectacular shuttle launch photography that maybe we've ever seen or ever will see, obviously, with only one more flight after that to go. A launch just 6 minutes before sunset. And then when that thing hits the air and pulls out sort of the twilight and hits the full sun, you know, when it comes out of Earth's shadow, again, it could be just, I mean, please don't change the launch date. This could be spectacular. Atlantis still hoping to target launch on June 28th. Again, nothing new there. They're getting ready for the flight. NASA plans to fly the flight. Technically, legally, you know, don't let it get in the way, but they don't have any money to fly the flight yet. So we'll see how that all resolves moving forward. Atlas, March 4th, Delta 4, March 11th, Falcon 9, and sometime in mid-July are our unmanned launches from the Cape coming up. And also to let you know that, you know, the manned spaceflight program is by no means being shut down right now or slowed down or whatever. It's been very busy at the International Space Station just this past week, just in terms of traffic coming and going. Last Saturday, Japan launched their cargo vehicle up. On Sunday, a Russian Progress vehicle undocked to come down. On Thursday, the Japanese vehicle arrived at the station and was docked. And on Friday, they opened up the hatches. And then on Thursday night, the Russians launched their next Progress up, and it is supposed to arrive at the space station tonight. So an incredibly busy time on board the space station. Hey, next week is Mike McCulley is going to be our guest. In the meantime, Space Talk, sponsored by Space Florida and is a product of Mylas Solutions. Aaron Michaels is my personal chief engineer. Up next on WMMB is the Home Mortgage Law Show, so please stay tuned for that. I'm Jim Bankey. We'll talk to you again real soon.